Everybody doing okay? If you have a Bible with you, and if you don't, there should be one in a pew underneath in front of you. Open with me the book of Proverbs, which is where we've been for a while now. And we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 27 this morning. I've done my best this winter to get rid of you people. Called you all kinds of names. You've been with us on Tuesday morning, I called you dumb sheep. If you've been here on Sunday mornings, I've called you fools and idiots, right? And then that an ant is wiser than you, right? And all these things are in the scriptures. It's interesting how we don't have to go outside of the scriptures to be insulted. We can just stay right there. In fact, the most insulting words probably you'll find in your life are within the scriptures if you're determined to live your life some other way. So I've done my best, but I guess the question I have for you is are you really wanting the truth? You know, the truth sometimes hurts, doesn't it? Remember this clip? Can you run it for me?
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Can you? Is that true? Yeah, it really is. That really is the question. Maybe it's an eternal question in many ways. Some people just can't handle the truth. It certainly is a question of discipleship. If I'm really going to walk with Christ, if I'm really going to be everything God wants me to be, then I'm going to have to be able to deal with the truth, even if it's not pleasant. Even if what I'm told is not what I thought or what I wanted to hear, I'm going to have to be able to deal with the truth, whatever it is. Are you open to that? I hope you are. But like I said, I've been trying to get rid of y'all. I had a professor when I was in college, and I was a senior. And it was an economics class, which I despised desperately. But I had to have the class in order to graduate. Well, the first week of class, this guy was a completely rude person. I mean, he would cut people off in the middle of them answering questions. If you raised your hand, he would ask a question, and he would ask for hands. And then if you raised your hand, if you stammered even a second, he would just move on. He said, next person, I need a smart person to answer this question, he would say. If that person stammered or didn't have the right, he says, I don't have time for dumb people. I need a smart person. Who's a smart person in here? And he was just like that for three straight classes. And I mean, it was bad. And so by the time the second week came, he had lost about a third of the class. About a third of the class had just dropped the class. And that's about the time that you could. And I would have gladly dropped the class because I didn't have time for that. But I had to have time for that because I was graduating. I was engaged to be married. I was headed to seminary. This class was not going to be over till the spring of the next year. I wasn't going to wait a whole year to graduate. And so I had to sit in that class. And so here I go back Monday to the class and sit in there expecting the same thing. Well, the guy starts the class by saying, I need to apologize to all those who are still here. That's the way he started. He said, I need to apologize to all of you. He said, I've been very rude. He said, I've cut you off, and I've called you stupid and dumb and all this kind of stuff. And he said, you need to know that I was intentional about that. I wasn't just going through a mood swing. He says, I was intentional about that because he says, I was determined to whittle this class down to those who either had to be here or who wanted to be here. That's what he said. And he was an absolute angel ever after that. Truly was. But I'm not going to be like him. I'm going to continue to be mean and rude. We're going to let the scripture say whatever they say. But I will say our next step in the progression of acquiring wisdom, it comes with a warning. It's at this point that some people drop the class. Honestly, they do. We've talked about what it takes to acquire wisdom. You've got to want wisdom, right? You've got to go to God for wisdom. You've got to get on your knees. You've got to go to the wise. That means you got to be able to go to them. Welcome back, Tom. We've been missing you. You got to go to the wise. You got to be careful who your friends are. If you can't do these things, you're not going to be able to acquire wisdom. But our next step is like I said, that some people drop the class, or at least they stop turning in homework after this, because your next step is a critical step, and if you are not able to pass this step, then you will not be able to go any further with wisdom. In fact, you're probably going to back up. Probably going to lose, in fact, in particular, you're going to lose one of these for sure. One of the steps he's already accomplished. Our next point of acquiring wisdom is in our ability to receive criticism. Can you do that? Can you handle the truth about who you actually are? Not who you think you are, but can you handle the truth about who you actually are? If you can't do that, then really this class isn't for you. And in fact, you're going to lose also the necessity for the third step, which was find the counsel of wise people. Because what's the use of the counsel of wise people if you're not going to listen to what they say? So you go to wise people, people who really know what the truth is and who are committed to the truth. They're going to tell you some things that you may not like about yourself. We talked about the kids. They're going to hold up a mirror for you of images that you haven't seen before that you might not like. If you're not open to criticism, then really, like I said, this class isn't for you, the class of wisdom. But until you're willing to get past that and say, you know what, for the right critic, I'm open. Because I understand that it's possible for me, are you willing to say this? Possible for me to be deceived. Possible that I have blind spots. Are you willing to say that? Possibly that I'm wrong because I've been wrong before. Are you willing to go with that? Because if you think you've arrived, or if you think really no one has a say or should have say over your life, well, then, you know, this boat, the ship has already sailed for you, and really we're not going to be able to help you a whole lot. There's only so much self-improvement that we can do by ourselves. You reach a point, you reach a ceiling, if you will, of growth that you're not going to be able to go past unless someone else is able to speak into your life. Someone else outside of you. Not your other personality or whatever it is. I'm talking about somebody outside of you is able to look in and say, you know what, I see this, and I disagree with that, and if I was you, I would stop doing this. Do people have a right to do that in your life? I mean, do you really have an open door? Because I'm telling you, if you don't, there's going to be a block when it comes to wisdom for you past this point. There truly is. There really, really is. Fixing ourselves without outside intervention, completely fixing ourselves, is impossible. God did not create you that way. God didn't create you with the ability to be able to see yourself and analyze everything in an honest way and change yourself all by yourself. God created us for community. Part of community is that part of the existence of community in my life, friends, family, loved ones, is that they are able to see things I can't see. And hopefully I allow them to speak to me and say, Bill, you're being an idiot, and be able to take it. And then hopefully not be as much as an idiot as I was before that. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take it? God made you in such a way that you have to have others speaking into your life in order to become all that you're supposed to be. Let me say this in another way. You cannot go very far without others' critique. Just can't. Someone put it well when they said it this way. They said, trying to fix ourselves by ourselves is the same as doing brain surgery on ourselves without a mirror. There's going to be problems if you do that. There's going to be some damage if you do that. You won't stay equal. You know, like I said, this is the jumping off place. This is the people where people quit the class, and it's not just a matter of, oh well, I achieved a certain level of wisdom, but I can't go back. But now I won't accept critique, and so I'm going to keep this certain level. No, you will not. This is not only will you not keep this level, you will not keep the next level because you're going to lose the friends who would otherwise speak the truth to you. Because what's the use of talking to him? Because he's a knucklehead. You know? He doesn't accept wisdom, so we can't really talk to him. We can't really tell him the truth because he's not available. He's not open to the truth. He can't handle the truth, truly. Part of the reason why we can't do that, we are unable to do brain surgery on ourselves, if you will, is because we're too close to the subject, aren't we? I mean, okay, I've got a mirror out there. I should be able to look into the mirror and tell what's wrong with me. Well, the problem with the mirror is that your nose is in it. You're about that close to it. So how much are you going to be able to see? You need someone who's standing back from the mirror and saying, yo, I know what you see where you're standing, but I'm telling you where I'm standing, this is what I see. Or can you take it? Will you accept it? Decision you got to make. But it is a step toward wisdom that we all have to take. We need to come to a point of view that isn't ours, isn't nosed in the mirror, that belongs to someone else. And we need to listen to them. So we need to get in the line, the former line over here, called the line who are willing to accept criticism. Will you get in that line? Because the other line is, by the way, only fools in this line. At a certain level, you're unwilling to accept criticism, you are a fool. I'm not as foolish as other. Okay, whatever. But you definitely are a fool because the Bible says that you are a fool. And we're going to see several of those. Are you willing to accept honest critique? Well, you get in the line called criticism. Not easy to get in that line. Not easy at all. We're in Romans chapter 27. I'm sorry. Proverbs 27. Look down at verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Why would a friend wound you? Because it's not as bad as what's coming for you, possibly. Got to knock you in the head and drag you out of the way because what's coming is far worse. It's going to run right over you. Would you accept that? The critique, the word that says I'm not all I thought that I was, that wounds your emotions, wounds your pride. Faithful, it says, are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Or do you want to be in the line over here that everybody says yes to you and agrees with your predetermined position that you're not coming off of because you're a knucklehead? And we can add that one to my list too. Knucklehead. I called them a knucklehead. Excuse me. You're a fool. Because a fool doesn't accept advice. He will not accept critique. There's just a certain level of wisdom he will not go past because he can't. Because he's too caught up in his own position. He won't listen to anybody else. He's got an allergy to wisdom, and so it's taken him there. But are you open to that? Are you willing to take that? Even the wounds of a friend can be trusted, it says. So how do we get in this line called the criticism line? Well, first thing we need to do, here's the first step. You need to have a healthy view of yourself. It's very important. A healthy view of yourself. I would say included in that view is I can be wrong. I can have blind spots. My way isn't the only way to do things. I can be deceived because I have been deceived before. That's included in all that thought process will help you and say, well, it kind of builds a little bit of paranoia. You know, blind spot means that you're blind to it. You know that if you know that you have a blind spot, that means you're by definition not blind to it, right? If I know that I'm deceived, I'm no longer deceived, right? The fact that I no longer feel that I'm deceived doesn't mean that I'm not deceived. It's a little paranoia, isn't it? Yeah, you need a little bit of paranoia riding with you at all times. Maybe I don't have this right. Maybe my position isn't the only position. Maybe I'm way off. Maybe I'm wrong because I've been wrong before. That is a process, if you will, a mentality of a person who's going to grow in wisdom. That person's going to grow. They're going to be available for someone to speak into them and say, you know what, the way you're doing that, the way you're handling that, the way you're coming across, I know you think you're coming across this way or that you're doing this kind of job, but in fact, here's the reality. And I'm open to that, you see. But it starts with having an honest view, a healthy view of myself. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Now that is a thing we find all the way through the scriptures. Yeah, I know there's a large teaching that's gone on. It's sort of faded some now, and I'm glad it has, called self-esteem teaching. And I would say this, and I don't know where your position is, you can go with the minds that are of today, or you can go with the mind of the scriptures, but I'm telling you, the scripture does not agree with the self-esteem line of thought. The scripture assumes everywhere that you already esteem yourself too highly. Everywhere. Everywhere. It indicates that we do have a problem with self-esteem, and everywhere it says we esteem ourselves too highly. Everywhere. No exceptions to that. You may not like that because of, like I said, the teachings that you've been brought up in and the things that have been shoved down our throats. But I'm just telling you, the Bible says we think way too much of ourselves. So we have to, all of us, come off our high horse and come to a reality of who we really are. Rather, think of yourselves with sober judgment. To think of yourself with too high self-esteem is not sober. You're not sober. You're drunk on yourself. You're high on your personal attitude. And a person like that, you can't tell them anything. That's not where you want to be. It's not what you want. It's important we realize we have blind spots because, like I said, it's a jumping off place. Because the lion over here, the fool, are committed to the fact that they don't have blind spots. They don't need help. You know, maybe some people do, but I'm not one of them. I've got it figured out. You know people like that. Maybe you've been a person like that. Hope you're not going to stay that way. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in their own opinions. Why? Because they think their opinions are correct. They don't need adjustment. They don't have a grace that says, this is my opinion, but I could be wrong. Because I've been wrong before. And I need your help to help me see the things that are not right about my opinion. Proverbs 9:7. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. So are you a person that can't be corrected? The Bible says you're a mocker. Does that bother you? Well, I guess that's too bad, right? Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. So I don't want to be called wicked or a mocker. That's what it says. If I can't take it. I don't like that. Well, that's part of being corrected, is it not? Or there are just some people you can't talk to. I mean, they have an allergy to wisdom. They really do. They're allergic to it. They just can't take it. They prefer to continue to do brain surgery on themselves with no mirror. So we need to ask ourselves the question, do you have an allergy to wisdom? Or are you willing, can you handle the truth? Can you handle the truth? Because that's going to be very important for us to make progress in our lives. So the first thing we need to do is we need to have a healthy view of ourselves. And then secondly, we need to learn to trust certain people. We've hit this theme several times. Trust certain people. There have to be certain people that are allowed so close to me that they're allowed to see the stuff that I want no one else to see. We all have this facade that we like to keep up. This is what the world thinks about me, and I want them to keep thinking that. There have to be certain people, though, that have to be inside that facade, that have to be able to say, you know what, Bill? I know you think this, but that isn't right. I know you say this, but that's incorrect. There's got to be people like that in your life. There has to be certain people that you trust, and I know. The reason why I have trust issues is because people have lying issues, and I know that. But not everybody lies. There are some good people out there. We've been talking about this process of how do you know what a wise person is? It's not by what they say. It's what? It's by what they do. Wisdom is as wisdom does. Wisdom is as wisdom does. You're not looking for a person who can spout theology to you. You're looking for a person who can live theology. They demonstrate by their decisions and by their actions that they're following God, not by their words only. But yeah, they do know good stuff and they can tell you good stuff, but can they live that way? Those are the people that need to have say in your life. That's a person you can trust. I'm not saying they got it all together. I'm just saying they're walking and demonstrating that they know the Lord. And they're walking in the presence. I'm not saying they're not saved or whatever. No, no, no. I'm just saying certain saved people need to not have say in your life because they're acting like idiots. Leave them alone. God will handle them. You worry about you. Certain people you're going to have to trust. You're just going to have to. You need some true godly friends in your life who you will listen to. Not just, okay, I listen to him. No, I take it honestly and I say, wow, I got some things I need to pray about here. I got some things I need to take before God because this person whom I trust and I know I can trust is, I know they're shooting straight with me and this is what they say. Who you can trust. Worthwhile friends. Let's talk about what those are. Worthwhile friends, number one, are not simply found. They are made. Worthwhile friends are not simply found. They are made. A casual friend is as a result of circumstances. But a committed friend, a worthwhile friend, is by act of a choice. They choose, and you do too, to be friends. Proverbs 27:19, again, all over the place about who your friends are. The mirror reflects a man's face, but what he really is like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. So let's take your three closest friends and we'll stand them up here and we'll grill them and find out what's really going on in their lives. And you know what? It'll be unnecessary. Once we hear what they've got to say, it'll be unnecessary for us to interview you because once we know how they are, we automatically know who you are. Just do. Three closest friends. Oh, they're all three losers then. They're all three worthless. Well, then, Like I said, I didn't write this, but there you go. It's just like a mirror. It reflects you. Tell me who your friends are, as they say, and I'll tell you who you are. It's right there in the scriptures. So worthwhile friends are not simply found. They are indeed made. It's as a matter of choice. Number two, worthwhile friends will stick with you. Worthwhile friends will stick with you. Someone has said that you really don't want to know. You don't know who your friends are until you make a mistake. Then you'll know. Till you blow it. That's when you'll know. King David made a major mistake in his life. He went a walk in the flesh, and I mean, he paid for the rest of his life for it. But he had a couple of close friends. He had one prophet in particular that came to him and says, "You're the man." God bless that guy, because he was a real friend. And David demonstrated that he had not come to a cap in his walk, not come to a cap in his growth and wisdom, because David took what he said and says, "You're right. You're right, thank you." Could have had him killed, but he didn't. He was the king. Who says that to the king? Well, a person who really loves him. And that's what he had in that friend. You'll know who a friend are when you make a mistake. Real friends know that friendship doesn't really start until you've had a fight. Had an argument. Well, then now we've made it past, you know, some bumps here. Test of a true friendship is what they do after the problems come. That's the test. I know some of you may know a guy by the name of Pepper Rogers. Anybody from California? Anybody UCLA fans? Of course not. Why would you be? It's ridiculous. Plenty of good teams here in Texas. Pepper Rogers was the coach of the UCLA football team back in the 70s, and he had a lot of good seasons, but he had one bad season in particular, and I mean, it was really bad. And he was catching a lot of flack from the press, especially from the alumni and the fans. He just made some bad decisions, made some poor choices, had some guys on the team that also did the same thing. And it was all coming back on him, and he just said, you know, I was going through this hard time, low time in my life, and he said, I really truly thought that my dog was my only friend. And he said, his wife, he said, was not happy with him either. And he told his wife, he says, honey, you know, I think my dog is my only true friend. But then he looked at her and he says, you know, every man needs at least two good friends in his life. He said, so she promptly went out and bought another dog for me. Someone had said, there's nothing friendlier than a wet dog, right? You need those kind of friends in your life. Friends are just going to stick with you. They don't care. They love you. They really do know your stuff. They're not outside this wall, this facade that you've created that you want the rest of the world to know. Though they're the inside of it, they still know your stuff, and they love you just the same. And when the time is right, they're willing to shoot straight with you, and you'll take it from them. You've got to have that. A third thing about worthwhile friends. Worthwhile friends will not flatter you. They will not flatter you. What it says here in our verse, deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. They're not going to give you what you don't deserve. If they have to wound you, then will, because they love you. Worthwhile friends will not flatter you. Flatterers are like friends in the same way wolves are like dogs. Kind of look the same, but they're definitely not the same. Definitely not. And a fourth thing, a worthwhile friend will wound you if necessary. If they got to knock you in your head and drag you out of the way because something worse is coming, they'll do it. But they will also dress the wound. Proverbs 12, 17 and 18. He who speaks the truth tells what is right, but a false witness deceit. There's one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword. We're going to talk, by the way, next week, we're talking about how to allow people to speak into our lives. Next week, we're going to talk about how to be the person that speaks. It takes the right person. Takes the right attitude. There's a process that God gives us in dealing with griefs and problems. And we're a community of sinners here, right? Children of God, but a bunch of sinners. And sinners cause problems, don't they? Sinners have issues. Sinners, I mean, your family, you and your wife have a hard time together. So you're going to come to church and all these people are going to get along? Shouldn't expect that. By God's grace, we do. But by God's grace, we have to deal with problems constantly because that's just the way it is. The sinners do that. So how do I, as a sinner, address another sinner in the correct way? We're going to go through that process. But we're not going to do it rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So that's why we're in this process. I got to first be wise before I can actually give wisdom, right? I cannot give you what I don't have. We're going to talk about that. But again, a true friend, even though it may cut, They're there to heal. They're not there to win. Some people are just there to win. Some people, a friend is there to win what's best for you. That's what they're there to do. So we've seen that we've got to be, first of all, have the right perspective of ourselves if we're going to be in this line called criticism. We've got to learn to trust certain people if we're going to be in this line called criticism. And then thirdly, we've got to learn to love the truth. Do you love the truth? Oh, I love the truth. I'm talking about the truth about you. Yeah, I hope you're all about Jesus and all about the Bible. I hope you are. But we're talking about, in particular, the truth about you. How do I make progress? You're going to have to hear the truth about you. All the truth in the right way, but you're going to have to hear the truth. Learn to love the truth. And the first doses of the truth sometimes are the hardest to take. Like I said, we've seen it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? Deceitful, the kisses of the enemy. Spoke up to King David a little while ago. You know what King David's attitude was and why did he respond so well to that prophet who came to him and said, "You're the man"? Because listen to his attitude. There it is. David writes Psalm 141:5. Let a righteous man strike me. I'd say that wounds, doesn't it? That is a kindness, he says. Let him rebuke me. It is all on my head. My head will not refuse it. Words of a wise man. Like I said, there was no ceiling for him. He continued to grow. He made some major mistakes, but still, there was hope for him because he could come out of those mistakes honestly, take rebuke honestly, know that it was the best thing for him. I mean, hopefully it doesn't have to come to blows, but if it takes that to get you there, are you open for it? Like I said, I would rather get slapped upside the head than be told some of the things I've been told. I can take physical pain far more than the pain of my own ego going, "Pshh." Isn't that right? But will you take it? Can you take it? Can you handle the truth? I just want the truth, even if it hurts, even if it humiliates me. Can you say that? I hope you can, because Jesus says this about the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So prior to the truth, you're not free? That's right. You think you are. See, it's so deceptive. Because I was in my own little world doing my own little thing. I can remember getting married. Some of you remember that, right? 27 years ago for me. And she's over there in the overflow. I think she is. She'd be on camera. "Hi, sweetie, I'm being good." She knows how I feel about her. But getting married was such an overwhelming thing for me. I mean, obviously, just living with a woman. But a woman like mine who will tell you what she thinks when the time's right. And maybe not even when the time's right. And the worst thing about it was that she was right about what she said. And she still is. She is. And she began to cut off, as God's instrument in my life, major corners of things I didn't see. One of the biggest things for me, and it was just simply her doing something her way, which I would have never done it that way. And it actually worked. I would have never thought that would have worked. It's very humiliating. Because then I began to think, you know, maybe there's another way to do it. Sure enough, there was. God began to work and chisel away on our life because I thought I was free. I thought I had it all figured out, but I wasn't. You see, it took somebody, it took more than one somebody, working on my life. And from the outside looking in and saying, "Bill, And I've come to the place where on the other side of some of those conversations where I've realized, "Hey, boy, I'm so glad they did that. I'm so grateful for the people that God brought into my life who've been willing to do that because I was in the dark and didn't know it. I was in prison, didn't know it. Trapped in a false reality, I didn't know it, and I don't want that. Do you want that? So what you're going to have to do is have a correct understanding of yourself, and you're going to have to learn to love the truth, and you're going to have to learn to listen to certain people and do what they say. Let's pray together. God, it starts by us humbling ourselves before you and recognizing that you are the one in authority. You're the one who sees, God, our imperfections. And we know we're sinners in general, but we're not totally familiar with how great sin has affected us, the way we think, the way we process, the way we make decisions, the way we treat others. We really don't know, and you're not showering down on us every little detail because you're kind to us. But you are chipping away. And in many ways, you're using others to do that chipping. God, forgive us where we rejected those who have been sent to us as tools of yours to change us, God, to free us, to take us out of the darkness into the light, to help us to be all that we can possibly be. Why would we stand in the way of that? But our pride stops us, and our sinful, fallen nature stops us. God, I pray for the willingness in our hearts to say, God, we want to be open to change. We want to hear the truth. We love your truth, God. Help us to be open to those you're sending our way. Thank you so much, God, for speaking to us and using others in our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.